Hey everybody, thanks for joining us again for Code Chat. My name is Jeremy Foster, and you can find me online at codefoster.com or on Twitter at codefoster. And I'm here today with Chris Reisner.
Hello.
How you doing, Chris?
Doing fantastic. Great to be here.
Yeah. You want to let everybody know kind of what your handle is, your Twitter and all that?
Absolutely. It's quite easy. The handle is the same as the website. So it's just chrisreisner.com or at Chris Reisner for Twitter.
Awesome. And I'll put those right down here. So that's pretty easy. I'm real excited to talk to Chris today. We've got an exciting topic. Seems like a lot of our topics end up being about cloud and Azure. There's a lot moving in this space.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool. We're going to be talking about a really broad array of services from Azure. First, I want to mention a couple things about Code Chat. First of all, if you want to chat on Twitter about Code Chat, use the hash sign at Code Chat, and hash Code Chat, not at Code Chat. So if you use hash Code Chat, you can use that to just chat about past episodes or maybe ask questions that I can try to bring into future episodes, whatever you want. Also, I just created some feed URLs for Code Chat to make life easy. So it's under codefoster.com. I'll put the links right here. codefoster.com/codechat/feed for the main video feed. And if you want audio only, if you're like me, and sometimes you don't want that video playing, so you can keep your phone in your pocket, or you can drive without getting arrested, or, you know, little things like that, go to codefoster.com/codechat/feed/audio, and that'll give you just the MP3. So, without further ado, Chris, why don't you tell us who you are, what you do at Microsoft, and how long you've been around?
Sure. So, my name is Chris Reisner. I've been at Microsoft for about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
Ever since I really started here, pretty much why I joined Microsoft was to be kind of the guy that was able to focus on some of the platforms we don't usually talk about, like iOS and Android, and how that can be pulled in and tied up to Azure, which is Microsoft's cloud platform.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting and really cool. You know, as you can see here, I've got a MacBook, and, you know, I carry Androids and iPhones around, and, you know, everybody here is pretty used to it now, but I still get those people outside who are like, wait, you work at Microsoft and you have a MacBook? What's going on?
What are you doing with an Apple on the back of your screen?
Exactly. Like, it still blows their mind, but, yeah. You know, that's Azure's, one of the big tenets of Azure now is really openness and ability to use it from everywhere, and,
yeah.
You know, that means Macs and iPhones and Androids
yeah.
and everything else.
Yeah, the pure fact is there are a lot of platforms out there, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you just can't focus on, you know, just one or two, we really want to touch everybody or let everybody be able to use Azure.
Yeah, yeah. That makes good sense. It kind of feels like we want good code and good services to be running in everybody's pocket. And everybody's pocket has, a different device in it.
Exactly right. And, yeah, so, you know, like I said, open to everybody and really friendly to everybody and easy to use even, as we're going to see throughout the day.
Yeah, cool. Now, we're going to be talking about some geeky topics today, but we also have the sailing in common, you and
I. It's true. We do have boats involved.
Yeah. So, and you just got a new boat.
I did not that long ago. A nice new-to-me sailboat. It's actually over 10 years older than I am, so very new to me, but, you know, it's exciting.
Have you been enjoying it this summer?
Absolutely. We've been getting out. You know, it's been really quite warm in Seattle. I'm sure people would be scared to hear that. I think it's just rainy here all the time, but it's been beautiful, so we've been out sailing pretty often.
Our summers are pretty awesome here, huh?
They are, absolutely.
I recently spent about 2 weeks on a sailboat. It was a pretty big one, almost 40 feet long,
wow.
And we went all the way down the West Coast.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You see any whales on your trip?
Yeah, yeah, I did. I saw a blue whale, which those are always fun to see because they can be enormous.
Yeah, probably bigger than the boat.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was a lot longer than the boat. And a fin whale and a number pilot whales and about a bazillion porpoises.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah, we got some real heavy weather. It's interesting on the north end of the West Coast up here in Washington and Oregon, the seas and winds can be pretty big. And then as you go down, it just feels like you're going south. You know, you're going toward the sun, the calmer weather.
It's getting nicer out.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
A little closer to the tropics. We didn't quite make it there.
But if you made it there, you probably wouldn't be
I wouldn't
back.
Be here. That's right. Okay, cool. So we're going to talk about Azure.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a lot of different things in Azure. Why don't you tell us what kinds of parts of Azure you're working on and what parts you're excited about?
Sure, absolutely. So like I mentioned before, I do a lot of mobile development, typically iOS and Android, but I even get my hands dirty with some Windows Phone and some Windows Store apps every once in a while. But I've primarily focus on the Android and iOS stuff. And so the stuff that I'm really familiar with, the stuff I play around with, are the pieces that are either easy to use or really plug into those platforms really well. So stuff like Azure Mobile Services and notification hubs and media services and platforms like that, where it's not just something that's just running in the cloud and it's just, you know, mysterious and it's up there. It's stuff that, you know, I can pick up my phone and I'm using those systems behind the scenes.
Okay. And the protocols, the interfaces to these services, are they pretty standard? I mean, are we talking REST-based services?
That's the great thing about a lot of the services in Azure is that it pretty much is all REST. So, you know, if we have an iOS SDK, for example, it's behind the scenes using REST.
Okay.
If we don't have an SDK, it's all REST. So as long as you can make a web request and you know the difference between a GET and a POST and a patch and et cetera, you know, you can still use everything in Azure.
That always feels great. It's like, I do want an SDK because I want to make my life easier, but it feels really good to know that if I wanted to, I could just make a nice little GET request and get it with the REST.
Exactly, and we've seen that out there. I mean, we've got SDKs for a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today, but you know, there are certain circumstances where it's someone's building something and it's like, yeah, you know what, I don't want to use the SDK because it doesn't do the exact thing I want. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bother with, you know, forking the SDK and then changing it. I'm just going to connect over REST.
Yeah, or I'm going to maybe customize the calls or the responses.
Exactly right. And so many of the client SDKs are actually open sourced that you can do that. You know, if you want to make just a little change, but you're okay with, you know, the SDK as it is for the most part,
right.
You just fork the SDK from, you know, in most of the cases they're all on GitHub.
Yeah.
You fork the SDK, you make whatever change you want, and then you can start using that. You can even, you know, we even accept code contributions on those SDKs.
Yeah.
So you see an issue, you do a pull request.
You can improve it.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's great. It's fantastic.
This is a whole new world, isn't it?
It really is. Absolutely.
It's not the way we used to write software.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so maybe we should start with mobile services.
Great. So mobile services is really cool, and it's kind of what I would suggest is kind of like the entry point for someone that's doing mobile development to look at Azure, because if you're building a mobile application, 9 times out of 10, especially if you're going to release this on, you know, the app stores or the Google Plays, et cetera, what's really important is how people feel when they're using your application. It really doesn't matter, you know, hey, what are they using behind the scenes? Like, if I'm an app user, I don't necessarily care.
Yeah, right.
What I want is a great experience on the device.
Yeah.
And something like mobile services, which is considered a back-end as a service, really gives a developer that ability. So they don't have to worry about all this back-end stuff and how it works and making sure it scales. They can focus on building a really great client experience, which is what's going to get more people to use their application. And so mobile services, like I said, back-end as a service, the idea is basically you just create one inside of Azure, and then there are client SDKs for many different platforms. You pull that into your application, and then you can start doing stuff like data storage and push notifications and user authentication and back-end logic, all these really great capabilities that would otherwise require a lot of time and effort and understanding to, you know how to build, design and build and then scale and stuff like that.
So now, to help us understand what back-end as a service means, can you describe for us, like, maybe how did we used to do this before back-end as a service existed?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of like let's look at before the cloud. Really, what you had was every company would have its own data center, or a company would lease space in a data center, or lease space on a machine somewhere running in a data center. And essentially what you'd have to do is, you know, there'd be me building my little mobile application, and then you'd be my backend engineer, and you'd have to build out all these services and, you know, figure out how to talk to a database, how do I deploy that, what happens when, you know, I need to scale up. These are all problems you're going to need to solve because you're the backend engineer.
Yeah.
So, kind of what happened as we went on is things became a little simpler, and it was a matter of, hey, instead of deploying this in your own, you know, having to deal with your own hardware, you can just, you know, get a virtual machine or something like that in a cloud or something like that, and you just have to deal with the software.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went on, you saw kind of this move towards simplification. So from dealing with your own hardware to only dealing with the operating system to only dealing with the software package you're running on it, all the way up to this back-end of the service where the idea is that you don't really worry about anything except for just maybe a small little piece of what you need to run in your back for a back-end, rather.
Oh, and I noticed now that when I used to create things, it was more machine-centric. You know, I was dealing with machines, and then as we progressed, then I was dealing more with services, you know, like a database service or a file service or whatever. And now when I go to create a new mobile service, it's centered around an app. I even name the mobile service after my app.
Exactly right.
So it seems like we really have gotten abstract, where the service that I'm creating is focused on my app specifically.
It really is. And it's almost, I mean, you could really think of it as is the legitimate, you know, the back end for your application. You know, it's the same name. It has all these capabilities baked into it. It's just the server component of your application.
And am I right in imagining that this is a good forward-looking design decision? Because even if I'm going to launch my app on one mobile platform today, I may very well incorporate the other ones down the road. And if I go with something that's able to recognize and communicate with all the mobile platforms, I'm ready. My backend is ready for all those platforms.
That's exactly right. You know, if you're a, you know, a big organization, chances are, you know, thinking of only one mobile platform is a little short-sighted.
Yeah, right.
And even if you're just building out, you know, the next, you know, the app that you think is going to be the next hot app, chances are good one day, you know, you're going to want to move to another platform.
Yeah, right.
And if you pigeonhole yourself into something that connects just to the platform you first build on, then you're going to have a lot of pain when you decide to move on to something else. You're going to have to, you know, redo your whole back end.
Does it extend beyond just mobile apps? Like, could I connect to the same mobile service through my website, through corporate intranet?
Absolutely. So, like I said before, the nice thing about a lot of the things in Azure is everything is supposed to be a REST API. So,
yeah.
If we didn't have an SDK, you could just talk to REST. However, with something like mobile services, there are SDKs for like .NET websites and stuff like that. However, one of the really cool things about Azure, and this is one of the really great things about mobile services, is if you realize that there's, you know, you've got a backend, your mobile service, and you're building on it, and you realize there's some piece that maybe mobile services doesn't have yet that you need, well, there's all of Azure that you can use in addition to that.
Ah, I see.
And because mobile services uses a SQL database behind the scenes, but it's still a full SQL database, if you're building a website and you're hosting that in Azure, you can connect to the same database without even having to go through your mobile service.
That's actually one of my favorite things, the fact that it feels like a modern NoSQL database, but it's actually writing it into a SQL database.
It really does, and it's so easy to use, and it really is, you know, it's future capable, so later on down the road, you want to replace your mobile service, you need to build a website, you need VMs, that's fine. Everything will connect. It works out great.
Would it be possible for me to go in and create a SQL database and follow the right patterns and schema and stuff and create the same exact database that mobile services uses?
Absolutely. There's actually a few articles out there. If you just look for, you know, using existing database with mobile services, that'll explain how to do that. There's even some stuff now with hybrid connections where you can take a mobile service and connect it to a database running on-premise.
Oh, wow.
So not even a database in Azure. So if your company has, you know, very strict requirements about where the data is stored, you can still use the power of mobile services and just have your mobile service talking directly to the database in your own data center.
That's awesome.
Can you show us
something on mobile services?
Absolutely. So first of all, here we are at the kind of the home page for mobile services. And this page right here would be great. You know, if you're just getting started with mobile services, you can choose a platform and then say what, you know, you started short, and it's going to guide you through everything. Now, I've already done that a number of times, so I'm just going to jump over here to the Windows or the Microsoft Azure portal, where I've got a ton of stuff, and I already created a mobile service for CodeChat.
All right.
And when you create a mobile service, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute, you can choose between two different backends, a Node backend and a .NET backend. I've already created this one, and I use the Node backend. And basically what that means is that when I create any tables or APIs or scheduled jobs, they're all running Node scripts inside of Azure. So whenever I, for example, hit an endpoint that's associated with my mobile service, there's going to be a script that's executed, and that's where I get to customize logic. So for example, if I go up here and say I create an API called, we'll just call it my API, first of all, you know, I can set permissions on that API for who can access it and how.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we actually create the API, which will just take a second. So once we actually create the API, it's tied to the script now, and I can define functionality for whether it's a GET request, a POST request, a POET, a patch, a delete, and then whenever this API is hit, whether it's from the browser or from my device or from the client SDK, that script's going to get executed. So this is how you get, you know, back-end logic without having to worry about, hey, how do I make this everything scalable necessarily? But so let's go back to the dashboard really quickly. No matter which platform you choose, the first thing you get is this little guide that says, hey, this is getting started. Are you creating a new app or an existing app? All of them have this really great templated application that you can use where it'll basically, you know, it'll give you a really small app that's a to-do list that'll already connect to your mobile service and show you basically how data storage works without you having to figure out how to connect all the pieces together on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is you basically just say, hey, create a table. And then you download this application. This application is, you know, completely built and ready to talk to your specific mobile service.
Okay, so by creating create to-do item table, you actually did something in your mobile service. But by clicking download, you're downloading some client code that you're going to run.
Exactly. So remember when we said that everything or a lot of things in Azure work off REST?
Mm-hmm.
Well, mobile service is included in that. So when I create this to-do item table, first of all, if I go up here to the data area, it's going to show that to-do item table.
There it is.
But now, in addition to actually creating that in the database that's behind the scenes, mm-hmm. mobile services is also spinning up a REST endpoint. So when I open this application right here and I actually run it and talk to my mobile service, it's actually using that REST API behind the scenes. Even though I'm not doing REST myself, or I'm not, you know, saying, you know, make this web request,
manually, yeah.
it's doing a REST request for me behind the scenes.
Okay.
So really cool that it does that without, you know, just automatically out of the box for us. All right, so first thing we'll do is we'll just go ahead and run the application.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just a simple to-do app. We can go ahead and add some to-do items, like talk about Azure.
That's a recurring item.
It really is. You know, that might be an everyday thing. And do code chat. So then, you know, we save this data here. And if we go back to to our mobile service here and go into our to-do item table, we're going to see the data's there. The columns were added. At no point do we have to define schema. Mobile services deals with that for us. It's really great.
It's one of those things that feels like magic.
It really is. So if we actually wanted to see the web request in action, what I can do is actually launch a proxy. And I'll go back to my application. And by default, everything in mobile services functions over HTTPS. So it's okay. All secure. What I can do, though, is I can actually change my endpoints. So I'm no longer using HTTPS and just HTTP. And what we should be able to see then is if we clear all this stuff out, we'll rerun our application. So we see this request to code chat. We see that it's going to this this endpoint right here. So it's codechat.azure-mobile.net/tables/to-do-item. And then there's this filter. So each platform, whether it's iOS or Android or Windows Phone, gives you a different way of kind of creating a filter or a, you know, like a where statement, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And behind the scenes, just like how we're, you know, behind the scenes using REST, behind the scenes it converts that over to an OData filter, which is basically saying, hey, give me all the to-do items where the complete flag is equal to false.
Now, that's pretty exciting that's using OData. That yeah. feels like there's all kinds of really good benefits to that, the fact that it's not going to be bringing back more information than it needs to. So
exactly.
These are probably going to be inherently very efficient calls.
Yes, exactly right. And it's not full-on OData, it's kind of a subset.
Okay.
But essentially, you know, if you're doing OData for the most part, that's going to work. And we can now see the request and then also the response, so we can see that data. And again, we're only seeing this because it's over HTTP.
Mm-hmm.
If I left it as going HTTPS, we wouldn't see this stuff
yeah.
right here. But it's all just REST, so mm-hmm. I can make the same recalls using curl if I wanted to,
yeah.
really quite easily. But right out of the box, we've got an application that's doing data storage. I can do queries based off fields, you know, really powerful capabilities. And from there, it's really easy to start getting into whether it's push notifications or authentication or running scheduled jobs. There's a ton of different capabilities here inside of mobile services, and they're all, you know, very easy to use. And I think what's really important is, you know, right now I'm just developing my to-do app, right?
Yeah.
But let's say tomorrow, you know, it becomes the biggest to-do app in the world. You know, it's one of Oprah's favorite things. Everybody's installing my to-do app. When you need to scale up, all you have to do is go over to the Scale tab in your mobile service and pick which tier of service you need. And then this is literally, you know, what it takes to scale up your service. You just drag a slider
enough.
Or say, you know, I want to auto-scale, so I'm never paying for more than I actually need. It's, you know, it couldn't be easier to basically go from I'm developing an application to I have a really huge application and I need a lot of power behind it.
What about the scaling of the database?
So the scaling of the database is handled a little bit separately, and if you go down here, you see the actual managed scale for database.
Mm-hmm.
And that's handled a little bit differently. And when you get into the SQL database, there's all these other capabilities too, like geo-replication,
mm-hmm.
You know, auto-backup, auto-restore, auto snapshots. There's tons of stuff when it gets into that. And then there's different tiers for the database
okay.
as well. But the really nice thing that I mentioned before about the database for mobile services is that it's not like it's just hidden behind your mobile service
yeah.
and there's no way to get to that data.
Yeah.
It's a full-blown SQL database, so if you want to take the data out and go elsewhere, you can. If you want to connect to that from a website or a web service running in another part of Azure, you can. If you want to connect to that from on-premise, you can do that too.
Through ADO.net or whatever.
Whatever you might want to
yeah.
do. Exactly.
That's
right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So I can see the benefit to mobile services for sure. Really, the problem that this is solving for developers is the spin-up for creating a backend is really, really short.
Exactly right. I mean, you know, I didn't have to have this ready to go before we started. It would,
yeah.
you know, it would have just been 40 seconds of us twiddling our thumbs, but that's so little time to actually have something that's, you know, capable of doing all these things for you without you having to build it yourself.
Yeah. Now, just one question real quick about the push. I know that the different platforms use push differently. You know, they all work differently. Am I able to push to all the various platforms?
Absolutely. So, so basically, when you look at push, and you know, let's look at, you know, Windows Store, Windows Phone, iOS, and Android, because those are kind of the platforms. Mm-hmm. They all have their own push provider, whether it's, you know, APNS for an iPhone or WNS for a Windows Store app, and they all expect, you know, payloads in a different format, whether it's JSON or XML, and they all have different fields and different.
And frankly, kind of formats. I don't want to write that.
Exactly, and even more so, even one of the harder bits is that when you do deal with push. Every request to like say, like, hey, APNS, I'd like you to push down to this iPhone. Well, in APNS's case, you actually have to sign that request with a certificate that you get from the Apple Development Portal.
Wow.
Similar when you do like GCM for Android, except it's an API key, and the same thing for Windows and Windows Phone applications. But that part gets really complicated, especially when you need to deal with, you know, keys changing every once in a while, mm-hmm. certificates expiring, stuff like that. Push notifications in mobile services deals with all of that for you. Now, if you were to use mobile services, you know, maybe a few months ago to a year ago, I'm not sure exactly what point we would have switched over. Mobile services kind of had its own push engine baked into it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, or you know, not at the same time, we have another feature of Azure called Notification Hubs. And Notification Hubs, the idea there is whether or not you're using mobile services or, you know, Azure for your backend, Notification Hubs can be used to do push notifications across all those platforms I mentioned, and it's extremely scalable. So if you need to deliver millions of push notifications mm-hmm. and, you know, minutes, this is the solution for you.
Okay.
And it's something that's built off of Azure Service Bus, which is this hugely scalable system. But now, if you create a mobile service, it's automatically connected to a Notification Hub. So you basically just get a Notification Hub out of the box.
I see.
And with Notification Hubs, you know, it's kind of its own thing, and there's also a free tier there, so you can do like a million push notifications for completely free. And it supports all systems. And again, you know, you can specify the Windows app credentials, the phone settings, the Apple push settings, and the GCM settings, and you just specify that in here, and it's really easy to use from your mobile service.
Okay.
But the Notification Hubs is something you can use regardless of whether you're using mobile services. So if I have my own data center, but I don't want to deal with all that push stuff, which is very, very complicated, I can just use Notification Hubs. There's a Notification Hubs SDK for all these client platforms.
Okay.
I just, you know, get my push token and send it up to the hub, and then I can tell my hub to push from mobile services or from my own data center whenever I want. I can actually show an example which might make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over to a different iOS application I've got here. It's just a push demo. And before we do that, I will just make sure I'm going to screen share my phone so we can actually see. One of the fun things about doing stuff on iOS is that you can't actually test push notifications on the simulator, so you really have to have a device if you want to demonstrate it working. So I'm just going to go ahead and run this application. It's a really simple application. All we can do is basically, the first thing the app does is it goes up to APNS, so Apple's push notification system, and says, hey, I want to do push. APNS then gives back a token.
Okay.
This is the same thing you do if you're building an Android app or a Windows Phone app or a Windows Store app.
Mm-hmm.
You go up to the provider and say, hey, I want to get push, and they give you back some piece of information that identifies your app and your device.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, you can then send that information up to Notification Hubs.
Okay.
So here, when I call this register with no tags method, basically what I'm doing is, if we go back here and look at the source code for that, we basically are using our hub, which I've instantiated up here using the hub's name and the hub's endpoint.
Okay.
I'm using that hub, I'm calling register native with device token, and I'm passing the actual token in. What this does is it goes up to my notification hub and says, hey, I'm a device, I want to get push notification, here is my token. And then from the server side, what I can say is, in this case, I've got a mobile service endpoint that I can call, which will basically talk to my hub and say, hey, hub, I want to push out to iOS.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see this load in just a second. All right, so I've already got the setup. It's already going to deal with the hub I'm registered for. Here I'm using the hub and then a connection string for that. And then I'm going to use the same hub right here, and I'm going to call apns.send, and then this is where I specify the payload.
Okay.
So now when I actually run this, which we'll do right over here, what we should see is a little push notification window or a template or a thing pop up right here in the middle of our screen. I'm just going to take a second. You know, my mobile service is cold. I haven't been using it, so it has to kind of load it into memory and get it running.
How did you run that? Where did you run it from?
So basically what I did was, in my mobile service, I made an endpoint, a custom API script, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a URL at my mobile service. Mm-hmm. So then what that means is that I can then access that from the browser. Basically, what I'm doing right here is I'm just making a GET request, right?
Okay.
That custom API, it's a REST endpoint. So via the browser, I'm making a GET request.
Okay.
And that's going to execute that script, which is going to basically tell my hub to push to any device that's registered via APNS.
Okay.
And I get my push notification.
Okay.
And what's really cool about notification hubs is it doesn't just give you blind, like, hey, push to anything that's doing APNS. Mm-hmm. There's also a capability called tags, and basically what you can do is when you do register from the client, you can say, here is my token, and I want my token tied to these tags. And tags are basically strings. So, for example, I could pass in code chat as a tag. And then what I could do from my server is, or from my mobile server, from whatever endpoint I want, is I could basically tell my hub, hey, hub, push to this tag. So in this case, I could say push to code chat. And what that's going to do is it's going to say, the hub is going to go back and say, I need to find all the registrations that have this tag, and I'm going to push to them. So you get targeted push. So I could push to anybody that's registered to get information about code chat, or I could push to all of Jeremy's devices if I used your name as a tag.
Yeah.
You can get really advanced and really crazy there. That's, you know, you can do geo-based push using that, interest-based push, whatever you might want to do.
Okay.
And then the other really cool capability is called templates. And what you get there is when you register from a client, you can specify the format or the payload, like how you want to get information. And so what I can do from iOS is I can say, hey, send me in the format for iOS, and here's the format I expect it in. And then, you know, same thing from Android and from Windows and Windows Phone. And then on my back end, and, you know, when I want to tell my hub to push, I can just say, hey, push this information out, and the hub will deal with making sure it's in the right format for APNS and the right format for GCM, et cetera, using those templates.
Okay.
So it makes it really, really easy to just basically trigger, you know, a push to potentially millions of devices with a single line of code.
So on my server, when I do that single line of code and I say push the following message, I really don't have to specify push it to the iOS users, push it to the Android users, and so on. I just push the message and the hub handles.
Exactly. So here's an example right here where we see basically my payload has a message tag and then some text. And what this does behind the scenes when I push it, see, so instead of having notification hub service.apns.send, it's just hub service.send, is it's basically going to say whatever, any devices that are registered with the template where it has message in it, send them a push notification, and this is what I want you to use in case in place of the message.
Okay.
So basically behind the scenes, it's going to find all those registrations tied to a message template, and it's going to say, all right, well, I'm going to insert this template push to everyone into the APNS one and send it to the APNS devices, into the GCM one, et cetera.
Gotcha.
So it's going to do that for you. So really, really simple to, like I said, and, you know, essentially one line of code, push out to all of the devices that are, you know, registered and apply.
Okay.
So really, really powerful capabilities. And again, one of the nice things about this is it really doesn't matter if you're using Azure for everything else or not.
Yeah.
You know, you can use notification hubs no matter what you're doing.
But if I am using Azure Mobile Services, I kind of get a notification hub right out of the box, right?
Exactly right. So really simple, you know, from your, this one right here is using a notification hub, but it's actually, it's doing it in actually more a harder way than I have to. Because this mobile service right here, I'm not using it the hub that's tied to it, right? This would be, this would basically be, if I had a Node website, I could have the exact same script in my Node website and talk to a hub. If I was using mobile services, it would become even simpler because I don't have to specify the endpoint for my hub or the key. All I have to do is say, get the service and send it out.
Yeah, kind of like when you're in an API, the API function in mobile services, and you want to talk to your tables.
Yep.
You just say tables, and it knows exactly what you're talking about because it's in the same mobile service.
Exactly right. Yeah. It's that easy. So, I mean, you know, if you pull all this stuff together, it's going to be so much easier and more powerful. But if you only need, you know, a specific capability, you're not, you know, you're not tied into using everything.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
It is.
Okay, so what else do we have that we can use to kind of talk to all the platforms?
Great. So there's a few other things we can look at. One of them is media services. And media services is really cool, and it addresses a need that not many people think about unless they're in a very specific market. So if you're doing, you know, if you want to do video streaming, if you need to do video encoding, if you need to worry about stuff like DRM and smooth streaming and stuff that, you know, it just, you know, it boggles the mind to think about how it really works behind the scenes, media services is there to help you with that. And, you know, again, REST API powered, but with client SDKs for streaming. So, for example, if I was going to build an iOS app and I need to stream down to that Android application, I can go in here and I can grab the SDK for media services.
Okay.
And then, provided you know my media is actually inside of my media service, I can start streaming down to my device, and that gives you capabilities like inserting, ads, video ads, and
interstitial
stuff if you want
ads.
To. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So really powerful capabilities for actually playing media onto your
device. And on an iOS device, it's going to play in HLS.
I believe that's the case. Yeah. I haven't played with it a ton, but yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I believe if we, it doesn't actually say here, but I'm pretty sure it is playing in HLS. But really high quality playback and very impressive capabilities. And again, one of the great things about this is if you're doing this, comprehensive application, both server and client side, this is just one more capability you can easily add into the
mm-hmm.
rest of your backend.
And I happen to know that Media Services is also capable of talking MPEG-DASH, which
yes.
I'm super excited about because I feel like, all these great companies have all these great HTTP streaming protocols, but they're all proprietary.
Absolutely.
And then enter the scene with MPEG-DASH, and now we finally got a standard, and I love standards.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it makes it easier for everybody. It's
yeah.
the same thing with REST. We could have made all these things in Azure exposed via just different,
proprietary means.
Yeah, proprietary means or, just different stuff, but because it's in REST, it's so easy for everyone to use.
Yeah, totally. I like
absolutely.
That.
So another thing we can talk about is Service Bus. Now, Notification Hubs is actually part of Service Bus.
Okay.
Service Bus, again, is this hugely scalable thing. But there's also other capabilities you can use within Service Bus, depending on how you what you're using for your backend. So you can do stuff like queues and messages if you need to have if you need that capability, and you can send those from either your client or from using a backend like mobile services or websites
mm-hmm.
or what have you. There's also stuff like hybrid connections where you can then talk from your for example, from mobile services to the database on-premise, that's one example. But if you need to call into services running in your own data center, for example,
mm-hmm.
From an app running on iOS or Android, you can do that using those hybrid connections where basically it will connect Azure to your on-premise web service
mm-hmm.
and basically function as a pass-through.
Okay.
So really great. One of the other really cool things you can do, and I don't have anything pulled up for it, but if your organization is using Active Directory, which I think something like 90% of the Fortune 500, something ridiculous, practically everyone, right?
Yeah.
If you're using Active Directory, there's a really cool thing called Azure Active Directory. And essentially what it allows you to do is, one of the capabilities it gives you is that you can basically federate your on-premise Active Directory into Azure.
Mm.
And then there are libraries called the Active Directory or Azure Active Directory library. It's called the ADEL or something like that. But
okay.
there are client SDKs for iOS and Android and other platforms. And what they allow you to do is authenticate from an iOS application or inside of an iOS application to Azure Active Directory, which will then connect to your on-premise Active Directory.
Okay.
So you can authenticate your company, your organization's users on these iOS or Android apps and make sure they actually have legitimate permission to be running the application or connecting back to your resources.
And it's kind of a live link. So if my IT guy goes and adds another group or adds another user to a group, that's automatically reflected in Azure.
Exactly right. So you set up this directory sync and then it's in Azure, and then without even having to figure out how do I expose my Active Directory in my on-premise, which you probably don't necessarily even really want to do,
mm-hmm.
to my iOS or my Android app.
Yeah, right.
I can then basically do my authentication, make sure they are my company's user and they have permission from these iOS and Android apps. So really powerful capability.
Okay, so between this and mobile services, I have the ability to authenticate people either custom with a Microsoft account, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Active Directory.
Yep, and if I actually go back to my mobile service in the portal here and I go to the Identity tab, so built into mobile services is authentication with Microsoft accounts, Facebook, Twitter, and Google. So, you can do all these social logins. It handles it really well for you through the SDK. But then there's also Azure Active Directory, and, that can be specifically just in Azure, or it can go to on-premise. And it's really, very easy. You put in some information here. There's a few lines of code you call on your in the client code. They're all part of the SDK,
mm-hmm.
and you can authenticate your users. It's
okay.
really very powerful and easy
wow.
to do.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so media services is something that will basically land on all the platforms. We've looked at mobile services.
Yep.
We've looked at Notification Hub. We looked at the Service Bus.
Yep.
What else you got?
Well, just kind of Azure in general. I just kind of want to talk about this for just a minute, but there are a ton of different things in Azure. And we've kind of focused today on you know, hey, I'm building an iOS app, or hey, I'm building an Android app, what can I use? But there's a ton of stuff behind the scenes that you may not think about initially because it's, you know, maybe I'm not doing anything that has to do with big data on my iOS mm-hmm. device necessarily. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, you have a back end, you have a lot of information, there's a ton of stuff you might want to do. There are a ton of different capabilities within Azure. You know, I think you were saying earlier about how, you know, you leave for a couple days, you come back, and there's more stuff in Azure. and that's very true. I mean, just recently we launched stuff like, I think it's,
I didn't used to have to scroll.
It's true. You didn't used to have to scroll. But, you know, there's stuff like machine learning now. If you have a bunch of data and you want to, you know, intelligently analyze it and get, you know, answers to your questions, you can use that. If you are exposing APIs that you want to be able to expose to, customers or, you know, basically developers out there, and you want to have a controlled way of doing it so you can, you know, A, lock it down, and B, maybe potentially charge for usage of your API. API management's there, and it allows you to do that. And you can actually wrap, what's really cool is you can take mobile services and you can wrap that in API management if you want. So let's say I've got a mobile application and I'm using mobile services to call on that, but maybe I want to also expose the same APIs from my mobile service to other people to build their own apps. Think maybe, you know, Twitter, except maybe not screwing over all the developers after they started using your APIs.
Well said.
Yeah. So you can basically do that, and you can, you know, use API management to give access to other people without, you know, kind of giving them the keys to your kingdom, so to speak.
Yeah.
So really, you know, crazy powerful
And actually,
stuff.
We just recently had Josh Twist on the show.
Perfect.
And I always mispronounce, I always twist his last name. we just recently had Josh Twist on the show, and we talked about API management, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
So if you want, you can go back a couple of shows and check out that episode.
And you should. It's really great, you know, just to see how it works. You know, and just tons of other stuff as far as caching and, you know, editing code online with Visual Studio Online, doing source control. I mean, there's just so much inside Azure. And I think, as you'll see, as, you know, more developers start doing different things, it's going to become, or, you know, it's becoming, or it is, it just makes sense to do a lot of stuff in here because you don't have to, you know, worry about your own hardware or worry about architecting some, you know, highly scalable messaging bus type system. Like, it's all here for you to use, and it's generally really easy to do so.
Well, that's a really awesome overview of the parts of Azure that affect people that are making apps that aren't necessarily making them for Microsoft platforms. They're making them from making the apps for all platforms, or
absolutely.
Platforms on other platforms yes. other than ours.
Absolutely.
Platforms on other platforms.
Yeah, and so, one of the other things that, you know, we didn't really talk about, and it's, you know, it's not really mobile related necessarily, but one of the biggest kind of non-Microsoft type platforms kind of associated with Azure is actually Linux, because you know, if you look at virtual machines, you can spin up, there's tons of flavors of Linux just in the gallery where you can just say, hey, deploy Ubuntu Linux virtual machine.
This feels like old news to me, but I still run into a lot of people that are surprised when they hear that Azure will run Linux.
Yeah, it is crazy. You know,
it is crazy.
I talk to a lot of the, you know, the non-traditional audience, so the iOS, the Android developers, the Java developers, stuff like that, and, you know, it's becoming less prevalent where it's like, oh, wow, like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still out there. Like, people still understand how really open and accessible Azure is.
Yeah, yeah, very open. I wish I was in those meetings where an executive said, hey, how about we run Linux on this thing?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be fun to do, to see that.
Cool. Anything else you want to add for us?
I think that's probably it for today. You know, just what I would reiterate to everybody out there is take a look at Azure. You know, you may think, hey, I'm building an iOS app, you know, I don't need Azure, but, you know, down the road, it's probably going to pay off looking at it and starting to play around with it.
Yeah. Do you have any sail trips planned?
Sadly, not yet. Hopefully one before the cold weather comes back and the rain, but we will see.
You got to turn this stuff off and get out there.
Exactly. I got to stop working so hard.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks again for joining us on Code Chat. It's been nice having you, and we'll see you next time. And don't remember what the actual topic that we're going to be talking about next time is, but who cares? Just come back for the next episode of Code Chat. See you later.
Sold.